Thank you very much. You may have learned something about our firm from the brochures and booklets which are available at the background. And I have a tradition to start my presentation with some joke, you know, to make everyone awake, alive, and so on and so forth. So I think since you are in Russia and the topic is Russian legal information, meaning how you find what the Russian law is and what is the Russian law, the joke goes as follows. Comes back to early 90s when the economic reforms have started in Russia, and the joke about two lawyers meeting at the conference, and one lawyer is from Russia, another lawyer is from what then have been Czechoslovakia, but let's take Czech Republic. So Russian lawyer decides to make fun of his colleague, and he says, you know, you in Czech Republic, and you are a landlocked country, you don't have access to sea. And I was just doing research and found out that you have sea law and merchant sea shipping code in Czechoslovakia as one, as part of your legislation. And tell me please, why do you need this? The Czech lawyer said, I don't really know, but tell me what, why do you have intellectual property laws in Russia? Okay. So to turn to the serious note, I'm going to take a few minutes of your time to represent a project which we are pursuing, which is the law offices of Fugorov, Puginsky, Afanasyev and Partners, and which I'm proud about. And I'm very happy to speak, before I begin, I'm very happy to speak before this audience, because actually a law librarian at some point played a very important role in my personal life and professional career. The story is that upon graduating from this university, St. Petersburg State University, where I still teach part-time in the civil law department, when I graduated from here, I came to study as a foreign student in Case Western Reserve University in USA. And upon completing the program, I was lucky to have a summer internship with the International Monetary Fund in Washington, D.C. So there I found some very interesting books in the law library, which were very important for the research I was delegated to, and basically spent a lot of hours in the library. Of course, my tasks were somehow related to Russian laws, and I also had my textbooks from Russia with me. So when I left, I decided to make a gift to the library and gave them all the books I had as a present. So in 2 months, I've got a call from the top US law firm, which doesn't have an office in Russia, but they asked me to work for their office for quite a substantial period of time, and this was really a very good offer for yesterday's graduate who is expatriate and so on and so forth. But it turned out that a partner from this law firm came to know about me from the IMF law librarian. Basically, the thing is, he came to the International Monetary Funds, where he had friends, tried to find information about Russian law. There was not much about, but the law librarian told him, you know, we do not have the books, but really we have across the street this really bright Russian guy who can tell you all about it. And basically I got a jump start of my career and started doing international arbitration and all of these things, but forever in my life, I have a very deep gratitude to that particular law librarians and very deep respect of law librarians as a profession. So basically a few facts about our firm is that the founding partners of the firm have different stories, but all of them have studied in Russia first, then came to work and study in the United States, and we knew each other from the university times. So at one point, we have found ourselves working for foreign law firms in the United States, and basically not being, but the firms didn't have a dedication, so to say, to Russian practice, so we didn't have a full potential, a full opportunity to realize our potential, just because one project is gone and the firm, Russia is not a focus of the firm's practice, and then you start doing something else which is not very much interesting. So the concept of the firm was to go back to Russia and start a national law firm, which is a Russian law firm, but is built and operating by international, professional, and ethical standards. So St. Petersburg office was opened in 97. In 98, we have opened a Moscow office. And today, in 2006, we are the leading, I'm proud to say this, national business law firm in the Russian Federation. Our St. Petersburg office includes about 20 fee earners. Our Moscow office includes about 60 fee earners, which makes us also one of the largest by the headcount Russian law firms, but I would say not only by headcount, but also by possibilities, work style, and quality of service. We have a mission of the firm. I think you must be familiar with the concept of firm missions. But the key point of our firm goes as follows. I'm trying to translate this. We say we are the law firm, this is the slogan, which combines international, professional, and ethical standards with Russian mother wit. And mother wit is really a special word in Russian, which is smekalka, which tells you about the ability to be very smart and sharp and do impossible. So that's our motto. More information about our practice, as I said, is available from my colleagues in the back of the room, where you can see practice areas, profiles of our lawyers, and so on and so forth. But I hope that after this conference ends and you leave, we can still be in touch for various reasons. First of all, me personally and my firm would be very glad to provide you with access to Russian laws, information in Russia, and so on and so forth. We have huge information resources as a law firm. For instance, we have access to the database similar to LexisNexis. It includes materials in Russia, which are articles for 10 years, starting from 93, from all Russian and international periodics, which gives a vast array of information. And of course, we do have access to the databases available from private providers, which include Russian laws, regulations, Russian court judgments, and so on and so forth. All of these resources, unfortunately, are in Russian, but of course, we are able to use them and operate it. Second of all, the focus of our firm, I would say the natural focus, because the firm is staffed primarily by the people who do have international experience. The focus is on all matters transnational. Half of our business is representing foreign clients in Russia. The other half is helping out Russian clients in other countries, where we, of course, go through local attorneys, but we still oftentimes need access to local information. So don't be surprised when you receive an email from me or my colleagues asking you something about your particular countries. I hope you will do a return favor and help us out, because really the first thing to start with is to understand yourself what is the situation in foreign law. And as I said, we do this quite a lot. Now, finally, I would say that our firm, have a program of summer internships for Russian but also for international students or young lawyers. Every year we have two or three people coming to us for 2 or 3 months, or maybe for 6 months if they like it, working with us, understanding, learning Russian law, Russian culture, and basically helping us also on the matters of their home jurisdiction. We recruit these interns through various forums which we are members of, but what I would ask you also, if you have in your home university or your organization some kind of placement office or bulletin board, is to post information for students about this opportunity. You may find the forum on our website, and maybe some of your students would become interested and visit St. Petersburg for this program. Having said this, thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy your time.
Thank you very much, Ilya. Move straight on, and I'd like to introduce someone that actually doesn't need any introduction, who's Shannon Hine, who's, I was getting worried there for a minute, I couldn't spot you. Shannon Hine from William S. Hine and Company, who sponsored our wonderful time, most of yesterday, actually, and that great meal. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Александр. Александр Робертович. Александр Робертович. Включите, пожалуйста, компьютер.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining me yesterday and for staying around to hear me talk today. As always, I promise to keep it brief. I try to be the briefest, which kind of endears me to you, hopefully. And what I'll talk about a little bit is Hine and Line and some of the questions that I've been receiving recently that I expect to receive, and just kind of answer some of the questions that have been posed to me at this conference thus far. The first and probably the most asked question that I've received is about my family. And who is not with me today, my daughter, Winter, and my wife, Denise. My wife started new employment, and my daughter started school, but I hope to bring them to next December to Mumbai in India. And so if you haven't met them, they're lovely people, but they do tend to attend this conference with me. The thing that I wanted to talk about really quickly, because many of you do know already about Hine and Line, is just some of the things that are coming in the future or that have happened in the near recent past. As you know, it does contain four centuries now, dating back four centuries, of legal research spanning into the 1700s. And it's primarily legal, but does touch upon other subjects as well. Now available in the collection, I've highlighted in blue the two that are really the most prominent internationally and outside of the United States, and those are the Law Journal Library and the Legal Classics Library. The Law Journal Library, of course, well, maybe not of course, but now has just surpassed 900 legal periodicals, and it will continue to grow. I have another 400 or 500 in the queue waiting to become available, and we are still adding more and more titles to that queue. Last year we had 400 in the queue, this year we had 500 in the queue. We add anywhere from 5 to 15 new journal titles every single month. Of course, the Legal Classics Library was a new one, and these are a lot of, tend to be English language or in Latin, but periodicals and very famous popular texts that are out of copyright and in the public domain that we do make available in Hine Online. There's about 1,000 titles that are will be available before the end of the year. For those that have used Hine Online, know that every title is from the beginning, volume one. We take the original print editions and we actually scan them, so they're in PDF. So you have all the charts and graphs, footnotes where they belong is something that I've tend to say before. And it is searchable now using Boolean searching for the first time in all the new library modules that have been released in 2006. And we are laying that searching over the other library modules, so they will all be Boolean searching hopefully before the year's end. Just to give you a sample of like an image or a type of page that's available in Hine Online, you can see that they are exactly as they were originally published. We have been including and begun to include bilingual journals, and we also have a few non-English language journals that will be being made available in Hine Online. As always, we welcome any suggestions. I had somebody just 10 minutes ago asking me about Japanese journals, and of course we would be happy to include them. Many of them, we're just not really, sometimes we're not necessarily aware that they exist, and so if you bring them to my attention, we'll be sure to work to get them included in the Hine Online database. Coming soon, some exciting new library modules. The first that has really an international flavor to it is the yearbooks. It's going to be a yearbooks collection. It will contain things like the International Law Association reports, Australian law reports, British Yearbook of International Law. We're going to be doing things like the English reports, and this is going to be a very wide, very broad, and a ton of content from Europe and the European Union in that collection. This will be made available early in 2007. For my U.S. colleagues, the Code of Federal Regulations, I'm just going to touch upon it, but that will be for my non-U.S. colleagues. If you're interested, I can tell you about it at another time, but that's going to be made available in October. And we're also making available all the American Law Institute reports and proceedings available. More importantly, and this is the last slide, coming soon, some of the things that you'll see is Google searching in Hine Online. We are working with Google and have decided to allow them basically to index all the content in Hine Online. And so if searching has ever appeared to be slow in Hine Online, it will work as quick as it does with Google. At the same time, we're allowing Google to make all of our data open source on the internet, which means that to gain access, you'll still have to subscribe to the portion of the database, but that you can search it with Google along every other law periodical or whatever else is available on the web. The one that is the most, we're also going to be open URL compliant in 2007, making, I know, librarians' jobs a whole lot easier in terms of finding data and contents and materials. The one that is really the most exciting to me is we are going to begin, we haven't named it yet, we're still kind of brainstorming that, but it's a free open source, which I probably should have put open access legal collection. When we thought about World Law Library, and we're going to begin it with a trials database, and we're going to start to scan sort of famous trials, Howell State Trials, American State Trials, British State Trials, our British Notable Trials is another set, and we're going to make this available for free on the web. You do not need to subscribe to Hine Online, or it really will cost you nothing. And what we will ask is for other member institutions to contribute to this. So as we continue to contribute to this database, you as well will be able to, at your institution, either, I know that some universities are pretty advanced in that they can scan, they can upload the materials. We'll give you the tools to do it. We'll use the Hine Online platform. It won't look exactly like Hine Online, but it'll, you know, will be a different branding. And it's kind of our way to give back, to keep things in the public domain, to allow special collections in universities to be made available either within their university or on a more general, broad access to the general public. But that's coming in 2007. It was very, I would say, tenuous to push it through to the upper management, but it was the vision of some of us to make it available and to give back to the community. So with that, I thank you all for your continued support. I welcome suggestions, I welcome comments, and for those that have not used Hine Online or do not have it at their institution, we'll be here for the next couple of days, and if you're interested in learning a little bit more or interested in free access to the database for some period of time, I'd be happy to discuss that with you. Thank you.